They are unanimous in their hate for me, and I welcome their hatred.
But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
They own you.
I was bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore.
From XPR, Expat Progressive Radio, it's time for the Bills Show. And now, here are the Bills.
And welcome to the Bill Show.
And the Bill and Randy Show.
That's right, it is. Right now, I'm
mad that. As hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Look, don't. You're blowing people away.
Yeah,
back off the mic.
Oh, it's a long way across the Pacific. I don't know. Sorry. Sorry, people.
Good to see you, Randy. How are you?
Good to see you, Willie. You know, I apologized last week.
What happened?
Well, I missed
explain,
the show.
Explain for yourself.
This chair was empty, and you had to end up talking to yourself until B2 came down. And I had commitments. This is a long haul for me.
I know. Actually, Randy has to travel a bit.
100 kilometers return, I think.
Is it?
Something like that.
Wow, it's worth it.
I'll have to check. Well, it is. I mean, absolutely. I mean, this travels around the world.
Because it does.
This girdles the earth.
That's right.
This girdles the earth like Puck.
You will have enemies and friends in every nation on earth.
I already do. I'm a bitter old man, and this only just assures it. This assures it.
Well, I'm fantastically happy that you could join us today.
Can I just say one thing?
What?
Suck Satan's cock.
No.
When you said it so many times last week, I just had to say it a few more times.
It's an additional Bill Hicks routine.
Yeah.
And I think that Bill Hicks routine basically encompasses exactly how I feel about
they talk about, suckling at the witch's tit as well. That sort of stuff. I mean, that's those people that drink PAC money and this new, Supreme Court ruling. They're suckling at the tit of Mother Satan, or whatever you want to call it. Rather than sperm, I think it's...
You know, I don't know how people are going to take this political podcast.
Well, hopefully
it actually starts off for this.
Hopefully they're taking it in context, William.
Yeah, they are taking it in context. Okay. Hey, listen, I wanted to start talking a little bit about...
No, I'm first.
Okay, you go ahead. All right,
I want to talk about the corporate influence and that wonderful, wonderful recording of the 2010 Keith Obermensch prediction.
Keith Obermensch, yes, did you like that?
Keith Obermensch and his crystal ball... I can't tell you, but there's something. You did make a horrible error.
What did I make a horrible error?
Keith Obermensch was not the person that predicted that.
Who did?
We're going back to nearly every president from George Washington until Eisenhower.
Yes.
Said beware corporate influence and moneyed interests becoming involved in government.
Actually, that's true.
Abraham Lincoln. This is the GOP is the party of Lincoln.
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln says no political donations. From self-centered, interested people. So this whole idea...
The domination...
Has been abhorrent.
Madison talked about it. Yeah. Many of the founders talked about it.
The founding fathers talked about it. If it could have been...
The danger of...
Corporate influence?
Not just corporate, but they used to call it moneyed influence. But the same thing.
Well, single-minded interests.
Yes, absolutely.
Single-agended interests.
Yes.
Yeah. And even Eisenhower... Who was their last, I think, great Republican president?
Well, I mean, a lot of people think that he was the last legitimately elected.
The last legitimately
Republican president. I don't believe that, but I think that Eisenhower, when he warned about the military-industrial complex, was kind of disingenuous because Eisenhower spent so much time building up the military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
But he's the one who came out and said, listen, undue influence by this segment of your society will destroy our democracy, and that's exactly what's going on.
And that's the living memory of these people, or most of the people, that are now dancing around saying, this is fantastic, including Herr Koch.
Herr Koch!
Wasn't their name Von
Koch? Well, we have a story about
Wasn't their name Von Koch?
I don't know. No. Well, if you want to know the background.
Ooh.
What? I haven't touched it.
No, not that kind of ooh. ooh, you've got something juicy.
I do. I have something. Well, but there's a story that we're doing today about the Koch brothers. So I'm just going to.
How come we don't mispronounce their name like Boner? So aren't they just Koch?
No, the Koch brothers.
Koch and Boner.
Koch and Boehner.
I know, but I just love...
Yeah, because you're just an infant.
I guess, that's right. I never got out of primary school.
All right, now listen, the first thing that I wanted to talk about today was the...
Congress. And
the Paycheck Fairness Act.
And the bulletproof glass ceiling.
Evidently, we are now evidently still in the process of debating that which we thought we had finished debating in 1974, which was whether or not the Republicans voted down a thing called the Paycheck Fairness Act.
Yeah.
How, Randy, how more uncontroversial can you be than saying, you know what? If my daughter is working and my son is working at the same job doing the same hours, they should get...
Why can't the same amount of money? Look, if men had a vagina, there would be equal rights. No, that's not right. But you know what I mean? Why are they saying that men...
Yeah, but this is such a... You know, this is like we fought this in 1974. This is a...
We've been fighting this for hundreds of years.
Yeah, but I mean, what happened today means that the Congress that we have in Washington right now is more conservative than 1974 episode of the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Exactly.
You know, it's really, really crazy.
And they're talking about making Phyllis Schlafly a saint.
This is the guy, let me see, Peter Schiff has his own show, and he's a talk radio guy.
Oh, Peter Schiff, yeah.
You don't know who Peter Schiff is.
The name's written there.
Peter Schiff has a talk radio show in which
I'm trying to make you sound interesting.
No, I'm not. Peter Schiff has a talk radio show which he basically was trying to justify the Republican position of...
The missionary position, you
mean. Yeah, the missionary position. The
man on top.
Yeah, man on top, right. The Republican position that you girls should not get the same amount of money for the same pay. Here's Peter Schiff. In my house, he would be not sleeping in the same bed for a very long time.
President Obama talking yesterday in Florida, stumping for his new Paycheck Fairness Act. And of course, you know, whenever they're talking about fairness, it's really unfairness, right? It's always whatever the government has a piece of legislation. If you want to know what the intent is or the effect of the legislation, just take the name, figure out what the opposite of that name is, and that is what, in fact, is going to happen. Of course, this Paycheck Fairness is all about forcing employers to treat women in a way that the president thinks is fair. Of course, if you force somebody to do anything, by definition, it's not fair.
Well, that makes sense. What? If you force somebody to do something that's not fair, not fair.
That's not fair.
That's
Randall,
not fair.
Randall,
I'm sorry, it's not fair.
Randall, do you know that when I got a car, the government forced me to get a driver's license.
I know, and they forced you to learn the road rules.
Why am I turning into Dudley Moore?
I don't know.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, fucking hell, yeah.
You know, when I got a medical, I've got to do this for Dudley Moore.
No, don't do Dudley Moore, because I can't do Peter Kirkwood shit.
When I got a degree... They forced me to get a medical license before I operated on people.
Yeah, that's...
Fucking government!
Yeah.
Fucking government!
They regulate everything. Yeah,
no, listen, Stephen, if... everything the government asks you to do is not necessarily unfair, including giving women equal pay
for equal work.
What the fuck they do? You know,
what happened to the Equal Rights Amendment of the 80s?
It never passed Congress.
Well, no, it never passed the individual states.
Yeah, it never passed the individual states. I'm sorry. Yeah, Carter signed it, nevertheless.
Like,
but see, this is what we're doing again. We're doing that again. This is what... And then basically Peter Schiff
around
on his show...
And around and around and again.
And by the way, let me tell you something, Randall. If you're a woman and you vote Republican, what the fuck's your problem?
I will not make a disparaging, misogynistic remark just there. I could use a good massage right now. I've got a very tense neck. But honestly, ladies, please, you are voting against your own interests. You are voting against your gender. You're voting against your children's future. Please, do not vote for those assholes.
I think you're absolutely right. Listen, there was a congressional reaction to this. And I think she is absolutely my new hero. I want you to listen to this here.
To simply get a bill on the Senate floor, we have to vote on a motion to proceed on whether we're going to take it up. And because this is now going to require a 60-vote majority because of the invocation of this fog of filibuster, we can't even get to a majority vote on how to make sure women get equal pay for equal work. No wonder people are fed up with us. They wonder about us why, when all is said and done, why more gets said than gets done. We heard this morning the talk about the economy. You know, one way to help the economy is for people to make more money. Now, I'll tell you what I'm tired of hearing, that somehow or another we're too emotional when we talk. You know, when we raise an issue, we're too emotional. Well, I am emotional. I am so emotional about this. I am telling you, if we don't pass this bill, I'm so emotional, I'm going to press on. It brings tears to my eyes to know how women every single day are working so hard and are getting paid less. It makes me emotional to hear that. Then when I hear all of these phony reasons, some are mean and some are meaningless, I do get emotional. I get angry. I get outraged. I get volcanic.
Yes, my new feminist hero, Senator Barbara Mikulski from Connecticut.
Yeah, she's good. She makes a point.
Absolutely, if you cannot sit there as a group of people in the Congress and make a decision that was, in fact, settled in 1974.
Yeah, at least nine. I mean, look, they get paid the same. Congressmen and senators get paid the same, regardless of gender. Yeah. Correct? Yes.
Yeah.
I think that should extend on down. Trickle down economics, we'll call it.
Yeah.
if our representatives get paid equal based without any gender bias, then everybody should be paid equal with
but
no gender bias.
But the idea that, you know, the whole idea that private companies, and I've heard this on the Fox kind of echo chamber, private companies will take care of that. Don't worry about that. Hey, listen, private companies would not be paying a minimum wage if it was up to them. You tell me, the chamber, United States Chamber of Commerce, if you could come up, and by the way, you may email me.
Email me too. Email us both.
Bill Show on XBR at gmail.com. If you can quote me one year, one time in which the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has ever endorsed a minimum wage increase, they never have. The only reason that you are going to get equal pay for women is if it's legislated, because they're not going to fucking do it otherwise.
Do you know what she said that was also correct, which was what you said? The way to stimulate the economy is pay people more fucking money. Regardless of gender, you're priming the pump. If they raise the minimum wage, the economy is going to go through the roof.
So why is the Republican Party so anti-women?
I don't know. Why is the Republican Party so anti-anybody?
But, you know, the thing is that they
anti-veterans. They're anti-veterans.
But
they're
how?
Anti-liberals. They're anti-people that don't own guns.
But
if you don't own guns, you're not a Republican.
But
what the fuck does that mean?
But how can any... I just don't know how any woman can, in their right mind, vote for a party that will take away your right to control your own body and then take away your right to be paid equally to a man in the workplace.
Yes.
Why would you vote for these people? And there are millions of women who vote Republican every year. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either.
I'm just bewildered.
Me too. Well, I'm bewildered as well. Okay.
Hey, you mentioned special interests. We talked about special interests earlier in the show,
right? We did.
Did you know that the Koch brothers have a really good scam going?
Oh, the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers!
Yes, not Coca-Cola, Koch Coke.
The Koch brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's their scam?
Well, I gotta. This is the theme song that I'm going to play every time the Koch brothers are mentioned on the show.
Oh, I want to hear this.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, I want to hear it. Here. And thank you, John Williams, and Gustav Holst
that
as
is,
well. Yes,
that is yes, that is.
I am your father.
That's right. Yeah, that is the theme that we have for the Koch brothers that we established earlier in the show. And by the way, you would think that the Koch brothers, They were against Obamacare, right? Right, Randall?
They were against. They're against everything. They're against each other. I mean,
they're against puppies.
Yeah, they don't like puppies. And oh no, they do like
summer days
with black bean sauce. Yeah.
But what makes you crazy is the fact that Charles and David Koch may have spent millions of dollars opposing. And this is from Think Progress, Randall.
Oh yes,
Charles and David Koch may have spent millions of dollars opposing President Obama's Affordable Care Act, or the possibility of getting health insurance for people who were sick.
30 million people who had no coverage.
But
yes,
they, alongside the fact that they were actually pumping millions and millions of dollars in a disinformation campaign to block Obamacare, the Associated Press reported on Tuesday that Koch Industries received $1.4 million in subsidies from a $5 billion program established by the Affordable Care Act to help employers and states maintain coverage for individuals 55 or over. The Koch brothers, while they've been running these ads,
Have been collecting money
from Obamacare.
Oh, fuck me. No, sorry. No, please, Bill. No. It was meant as an expletive. Yeah. God, that's
Think
terrible.
Progress first noticed that Koch applied for the program in August 2010. So this is the deal. This is the deal with the Koch brothers.
What a couple of assholes.
Absolutely. That even, you know, even while they're financing and they're against it, if there's money to be made,
yeah,
fuck yeah.
It's legal. It's
fuck
legal.
Yeah.
That's what they would say. It's legal. You think we're gonna deny collecting that money on principle?
No.
On principle? Of course not. We're not stupid. We're Chuck and Dave,
that's
man.
That's right, man.
We're Chuck and Dave.
Think Progress first noticed that the Koch applied for the programs in August 2010, along with other critics of the law, including state-run programs in Texas and more than a dozen members.
Texas? That red state?
More than a dozen members of the board of directors of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is absolutely one of the most rabid anti-Obamacare groups. Actually, these guys, while they were talking out against Obamacare, went behind their back and applied for Obamacare so that they could make them.
It's legal. Anyway, so.
You would think that they would at least have some sort of...
There's no principle. They have principles.
They have no principles at all. None. Zero.
No.
Speaking of no principles, one last story before we...
Oh, yes. Oh, I love these guys.
Well...
George Bush and Mr. Dick Haleyberry.
Yeah, you know what's been happening, right, is the CIA torture report has just come out.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you remember
these two guys? I just really...
Waterboarding.
While we're talking about this, why don't we go back down Sam Memory Lane and listen to two of my favorite people when they're talking about the new habit of America has of, I don't know, torturing people.
Yeah.
Here are two guys I love talking about that. Here's Dick and Dick Cheney and George Bush.
W.
Did you authorize the tactics that were used against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed?
I was aware of the program, certainly, and involved in helping get the process cleared. That is, the agency, in effect, came in and wanted to know what they could and couldn't do. And they talked to me as well as others to explain what they wanted to do. And I supported it. There was a period of time there, 3 or 4 years ago, when about half of everything we knew about Al-Qaeda came from that one source.
And I believe we're developing tools within the Constitution to do so. Some people in this country want to get rid of them, and they're wrong. They're wrong. You can't expect me and people in this government to do what we need to do to protect you and your family if we don't have the tools that we think are necessary to do so.
And you said within the law, and yet you admitted that there were these CIA secret facilities.
Okay. So what? Why is that not within the law?
The head of Amnesty International says secret sites are against international law.
Well, we just disagree with him.
With that as kind of a framework, Randy, this is what appeared at the HuffPost today, this week.
I am not a crook.
Yeah, well, he is. Torture report leak. CIA's methods were brutal and worse than communicated. Leaks from a lengthy and controversial Senate report on Bush-era torture highlight the need for declassification. Basically, what it says is that, according to the leaked conclusions, the committee found that the agency poorly managed its interrogation and detention efforts. It relied extensively on outside contractors for the design and implementation, especially two contract psychologists. But what it said in the end was that the torture techniques that were being defended by Bush and Cheney on both those occasions, during the time Bush and Cheney knew that they received absolutely no valid information.
Not a
through
scrap.
The use of torture. Not one. Not one scintilla. And even though they knew they were receiving absolutely no information through that
they
method.
They kept it up.
They kept it up.
They can't stop. You can't stop. Once you start, you can't admit you're wrong because that's weak. That's weak.
And not only that, not only that.
The Dick and W show is a flop. Mm. It ran for 8 years, and it's a flop.
No, but what I'm saying is that I think these people, you know...
Why isn't this man in jail?
...should be in jail. And what's happening right now is the Obama administration has long used the fact of black site CIA torture as the benchmark which to counterpose itself to the Bush administration. But while Obama may have closed the black sites, he has upheld the culture of impunity in which torturers can act, because CIA Director John Brennan, appointed under Obama administration, was the key architect of increased militarization of the CIA and the use of torture. And he is still...
Oh, you're killing me! You're killing me! Oh, stop it!
He is still the CIA secretary, the head of the CIA.
That's just too hard to find one. Too hard to find one with no heart.
So, yeah, have a look... Basically, at this investigation, it means that everything that the left was telling you about torture was right.
I am not a crook. I am not a crook. I used to have a little watch that had Dick Nixon going, yeah. I am not a crook.
And of course, we're not going to... do you think that we're going to prosecute George W. Bush?
No. Obama will indemnify... Or wasn't there something when Gerald Ford indemnified Richard Nixon from prosecution? Wasn't there something put in that said you couldn't prosecute a president for things that they did while they were president?
No.
You could impeach them while they're president, but you can't...
Well, the act of impeachment is just basically... Well, I'm not talking about...
It's censoring.
I'm talking about the fact that every time I see Dickface, you know, show up on some news show talking about his paintings, it makes me crazy.
Oh, W... Oh, yes. Oh,
I just made a painting of my dog, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and then the reality that these two guys, Cheney, who still gets a microphone anywhere in America to spout off his bullshit.
Yeah.
And
the Dick and
Georgie
show.
Boy, Georgie Boy is up there, you know, doing his paintings. They should both be in jail.
They should be in jail. Well, they'd make good cellmates. Who do you think would be the bitch?
That's it.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I wasn't supposed to use that word. No, that was not meant in the context of talking about a woman.
I think it'd make a good sitcom.
Yeah, the Dick and W show.
Dick and W show.
Okay, I'll watch that.
All right. Well, listen,
channel will it be on?
I don't
Fox.
Know. Oh, no, Fox, probably. Definitely. We'll be back.
We'll be back. We'll be back. The Bill and Randy show.
Just a minute.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States. Let me read it to you. I salute the boys and girls who are buying United States savings stamps and bonds through the Treasury School Savings Program. They're learning the lessons of practical citizenship and of wise money management. And they're giving important support to the cause of freedom and the men who fight for us in Vietnam. That message is on this wallet-size U.S. Savings Bonds pledge card, which you'll get in school as soon as you begin to buy U.S. savings stamps. Let's get started today. What do you say?
And we're back.
Biff, Zock, Pow, Batman. Tell me it isn't so.
That is an old in which Batman, Adam West,
TV Batman,
TV's Batman. Is asking little kids
to donate money.
To Vietnam.
Yeah, I was in probably the fifth grade that year. I remember kids going, you know, and buying their little 10-cent stamp and putting it in a book and getting a $20 savings bond.
Yeah,
that was probably never worth more than $20 ever.
Absolutely.
No, I do remember that whole thing about saving stamps, and my relatives used to give savings bonds instead of cash.
I just find Adam West doing it kind of creepy.
Well, I think Adam West sort of... it's like the men who fight for us in Vietnam. There are an awful lot of women there.
Yeah, that fought in Vietnam as well.
So,
I stumbled upon that, and I just thought, you know, it's really odd that during that time, we were taking their money when they were in primary school, and then when they just got out of high school, we sent them off to get killed.
Well, that's right, because if I was in 1966, I was in grade 7.
Mm.
I was just on the cusp of the Vietnam War. So, yes, kids that bought those savings stamps could have...
You were on the cusp. You weren't...
Well, I was 1973, the draft finished.
Yeah.
In essence. I was in the last year of the Lottery of Death, and I got number 101. My birthday was 101, and I think the cutoff point was 100.
Yeah.
And they never got above 30 or 40 in that year. And what you do is you register for the draft... And then you proceed to go down the list until you're 26 and you fall off.
Mm.
So there would have had to be a major, major conflagration for me to have ever been called up after
imagine
that.
Imagine the amount of fear that young people lived in.
Well, I didn't. My father was a 20-year reservist. I have a lot of friends from high school that enlisted in the Marines and fought in Marines and Navy and fought in Vietnam. Because, you know, it wasn't over for another few years until 75 when we actually left. We had all those pictures of the choppers being pushed off of the aircraft carriers. But, I remember that. I was already in Australia by then, which was a lot closer to Vietnam than I was in California. And a lot of soldiers used to come here for R&R to Sydney. And a lot of those restaurants, bourbon and beefsteak and everything is still there. We've always had a history with America going back to 1788 when the USS Independence saved Sydney from dying of starvation, even though we were technically still at war with
God, Randy,
Britain.
You sure...
I'm just a fond of history.
You know
I'm just full of trivia. Trivial Pursuit. Let's chase
you
Randy.
You wanted to talk about the...
The Bill of Rights. You know the Bill of Rights?
Yes.
It's the first...
I'm somehow familiar with it, yeah.
First 10 amendments of the Constitution. Now, a lot of Americans wrap themselves in the Constitution like it was some sort of a Kevlar blanket.
It's the Saran Wrap thing. Yes. It's looking very nice.
But how many... Americans have ever read it. You know what the First Amendment is? That's the freedom of speech and the freedom
the
of religion.
Second Amendment is my freedom to shoot the hell out of anything I will say.
So the First Amendment guarantees that we are free to practice whatever religion we choose.
Correct.
Okay. That does not mean Christianity going down your throat like Satan's cock. That means any religion. And then you are also free to practice no religion.
Absolutely.
Okay, and you know the Second Amendment is that which says you may maintain a firearm at home in order
that
we can...
That's not what it says.
Well, we can form...
Congress
we can,
shall... Right, shall...
A well-regulated militia being necessary for
there
the security of a free state, the right of people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
A well-regulated militia...
A well-regulated militia is not...
That does not mean you get an AK-47 to kill a goddamn fucking squirrel.
And one for your kids. Okay, Bill... What is the Third Amendment?
You know what? I don't know it off the top of my head. What is
it? Okay, the Third Amendment is that soldiers may not be billeted in your house without permission. Now, I'm telling you...
Yes,
okay. There's also then, you know, the search and seizure, the right to a fair trial. They go on, and they're actually quite...
Which, by the way, you want to count up the number of amendments we've just broken recently?
Oh, a lot. I mean, there were only up to 27 now.
People sitting in Guantanamo Bay without a fair trial right now.
Yeah. Oh, and an unlawful search and seizure of your metadata. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Data
is still a commodity.
You guys think you still have a Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
You know, let me tell you, there's one thing that you do have.
I think
the right
more
to
people
shoot
know,
anyone
yeah.
you want.
More people know the Ten Commandments than they know the Ten Bill of Rights, which are the the important ones. You know, number 14 was the freedom of the slave. I mean, we have a lot of things that were really, really good. You know, we have the Civil Rights Act. We have a lot of things that the Constitution and its 27
Which
or 28 amendments.
Which is being torn apart right now, the Civil Rights Act.
They're being torn apart. But I just thought it's interesting that everybody knows the first, everybody and twists it and shoves it up your ass. And everybody knows the second and twists it and shoves it sideways up your ass, but nobody knows the rest.
No one knows the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think that.
I just thought I'd make that point that everybody beats you over there with the Constitution, but I don't think they've ever fucking well read it.
Yeah. That's true because I mean it's one of the things is that if you read the Declaration of Independence right now, if I was just to read it, which I do. Otherwise, I'd have a copy, and I'd read it for you
now. Well, the Declaration of Independence, I mean, we had to remember...
No, but I mean, if you read the Declaration of Independence, and, like, there was a survey done in which they took a copy of the Constitution...
Went in the course of human events, yeah.
Went in the course of human events, and they read it at a conservative, like, CPAC conference, and a majority of the people...
Did not know what the fuck they were hearing.
did not know what they were listening to and thought it was a communist manifesto.
Yeah. And do you know what? You know how many words of the U.S. Constitution people know?
Oh.
Three. We the people.
We the people.
That they don't know any of the rest of it. No. Now, this was written in 1791, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
That is a fucking long time ago.
Yeah.
George Washington was president still. It was a great time
in
America.
Well, you're talking about the Constitution, not the Declaration of Independence.
Well, the Declaration of Independence was 1776.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Written by Thomas Jefferson, drafted several. It was a wonderful document. We've all watched the wonderful Tom Hanks, John Adams series.
Yeah.
And we sort of know how the Declaration was written. Or we've seen the musical 1776. Anyway, I just think it's you people should not. You use the Bible, you've never read it.
This is the political show that you listen to and get homework.
You quote, yes. You quote the Bible and you've never read it. You quote, You quote Leviticus saying, thou shalt not bugger each other.
Yeah.
But you should also not have a beard, not cut your beard or have tattoos. Which you do. So you are selective. You pick the eyes out of the Bible. You pick the eyes out of the Constitution. Mm. And you've picked out so many eyes that you're blind.
I'm a walking metaphor.
Okay,
Nevada Revolution.
The Nevada Revolution.
You've just written this down. Nevada Revolution.
I've written those words down. You know Nevada, the state where Las Vegas, Reno, near Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
And they used to test Adam's bombs. Anyway, Nevada... You don't pay any taxes or rarely pay taxes because everything is covered by the gambling revenue. It's a great place to live.
Unless you're an habitual gambler and alcoholic.
Well,
that's not so good.
Okay. There's some farmer there decided that he was not going to pay to graze his cattle on public land. There's a levy. There's a sort of a levy.
Yeah.
Anyway, how the West was won, all these people got together.
Yeah.
And said, we're going to fight you. This guy's not going to pay for the right to graze his cattle on public land.
Yep.
It's Obama. It's nanny state. It's all those things. So the bunch of armed rednecks, they can't get over the fact that Obama's president. They help this rich old white rancher avoid paying the $1.1 million he owes the U.S. taxpayers. They think they've won something. But do you know who brought in that rule that you cannot graze your cattle on U.S. government land without paying for it?
What is good poetic justice? Reagan.
Reagan. Ronald fucking Reagan. And the Tea Party is rushing to this guy's defense for refusing to pay this terrible fee for grazing his cattle on public land. But the fee was not imposed by Congress.
It was not imposed by
Obama.
It was opposed by
Ronald Reagan.
Reagan.
In Executive Order Number 1248.
What did he say?
Which he signed in 1986.
That tyrant, that Muslim.
Yeah. Oh, in 1986, he was probably already getting the old timers. I don't know what I signed in those days. Nancy, why are all these people clapping for me? All these people standing up? Anyway,
Nancy takes two turnovers and put them on either side of her head, and we play Star Wars.
Yeah. Do you know?
Help me, Obi-Wan. Help me.
Do you know how many my dear dad?
Yeah.
He talks about King Hussein and his executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
But look at this one: the Nevada Revolution over an executive order brought in by Ronald Reagan.
Wilson Reagan. Now we're gonna go from Ronald Wilson Reagan into Yeah, that's my
I Heart Huckabee.
You like my Reagan?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I do.
Yeah, I haven't hauled it out in a long time.
I haven't
hauled out my Reagan.
Yeah.
If you've ever hauled out your Reagan, you know. Okay, with one.
Do you know when he was president of Actors Equity in California, he was one of the people that daubed in an awful lot of people on the blacklist.
Oh yeah. Reagan was a dick.
He was a total.
He was a dick. He was like, he's old grandpa. Yeah. No, he was a dick.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was a better governor of California than Ronald Reagan too.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
I
don't like to speak.
Come on, get on the plane.
I will be back. I do not like to speak ill of the stupid, but.
Oh, of course, that's what this show is all about. Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee's just the kind of. He's just that plain speaking old kind of Southern codger that you'd like to be president.
Oh, is he? We're going
to
run for president?
Yeah, because God loves him.
Oh, I bet you he sits in a rocking chair like Granny on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yeah, that's right.
And he talks to you and says, Yeah, I'm going to smack you upside the head with a frying pan. I'll whoop you. I'm going to have possum roadkill for tea.
I wish you could look at him right now, because I swear to God, it's like looking at Wilford Brimley.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say it looks like looking at Irene Ryan.
Okay, let's get into craziness with Huckabee. This is, I'm going to do my Huckabee.
So we hear Huckabee.
I'm going to do my Huckabee.
He's channeling
Huckabee. My Wilford Brimley.
His inner Huckabee.
Okay, especially, let's have a look. Conservatives can get on the same, it's not often that liberals and conservatives can get on the same page. This is from Think Progress. Even things that shouldn't be controversial, like science and history, can cause heated arguments among the left and right. So when a conservative ex-politician and Fox News commentator manages to anger both the left and right at one absurd statement, hey,
well, my goodness.
He's an achiever.
He's united the people. He will make a great president. United the people against him.
Yeah, one of the leaders of this is Mike Huckabee. Uh-huh. Yesterday, the inaugural Freedom Summit in Manchester, New Hampshire, this is what he said.
Yes, but freedom that doesn't mean means not freedom. Remember, we said everything that's with the Republicans means the opposite.
That's
so
true.
Freedom conference
no,
means
it's freedom.
The not freedom conference, okay? Sorry.
Why do they always call it the freedom conference?
Yeah.
You know?
They have freedom fries, not
French fries. A bunch of rich guys getting together to screw you conference. Yeah. Okay, here it is. This is what Mike Huckabee said to Republicans. He said, my gosh. This is Mike Wilford Brimley. My gosh, I'm beginning to think that there's more freedom in North Korea sometimes than there is in the United States. What? What the fuck are you talking about?
Can we have deathly silence?
Starvation in fucking Korea.
North
Korea. Did you know that the South Korea?
Everybody has to have their hair cut like that dickhead.
Evidently, Kim Jong Un, who he's talking about. Yeah, you know what he did the other day? Kind of like as a sprightly little prank.
He had somebody assassinated with flamethrower.
No, he assassinated somebody with a flamethrower.
Flamethrower. Yeah, that's what I just said.
It's just like little Pugsley got bored. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
He had a firing squad, it was not a gun firing squad. It was a fire firing squad.
Yeah.
He flamethrowered somebody to death.
You know, with most kids, it's just video games.
This guy,
but he's look. This is what he said when Huckabee was kind of said, "Hey, look, you know, America isn't North Korea, you dimwitted shithead." Because if it's, you know, he said, "Well, when I go to the airport, I have to get into a surrender position."
What's that mean? Like bend what, over. What's a surrender position?
First of all, what sexual position are you getting into at the airport?
Is that, I mean, he puts up his hands to
my
be patted.
My name's Mike Huckabee.
To pat, be patted down.
You can call me your victim.
I feel better
I
being
surrender
patted.
To you.
I feel better being patted down at the airport.
Oh, this is it. And I don't like the way Mike Huckabee said this. I have to get into the surrender position. People put hands all over me.
Lucky you. I've only visited Mrs. Palmer for weeks.
Are you sure this is not just a fantasy, Mike?
Oh, dear.
And I have to provide photo ID in a couple of different forms to prove
that I'm
not...
That's because nobody recognizes you, shithead.
...to terrorize the plane. If I want to go vote, I don't need a thing. All I got to do is show up and give somebody my name.
Unless you're
okay.
A black Democrat, and then you have to have everything, and you can't go to the toilet, and you have to wait in line for years.
Mike Huckabee. Mikey, you're not a tinfoil hat. We got to tinfoil hats. We had too many tinfoil hats this year.
That guy's just a total turd.
He is. Thank you very much. You had one that you wanted to look at.
Oh, yeah. Stand your ground for fetuses. Now,
back up.
Oh, what? Sorry. Well, no, that's the title of the next segment.
That's the title of my 80s
stand
rock.
Stand your vagina.
80s rock band.
Stand your fetus.
Okay. Stand your ground for fetus.
You know they have POTUS, SCOTUS, and all these little acronyms. What does fetus stand? Something of the United States.
No, okay. You don't want to go there.
FETUS. Anyway.
You'll work on it.
Yeah, okay. I'll work one up. Right, ladies and gentlemen, South Carolina. You know the one that's below North Carolina?
Yeah.
And above Georgia?
One.
Yeah, the smart one.
Yeah.
Okay. South Carolina has decided.
What?
Well, you know.
I'm scared now.
Just to back up a little bit. When do you think... human life starts. Wouldn't you say it's when a baby is viable outside of the mother's womb?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, they're saying, and most Americans are saying, that it's at the point of conception, which means it's up in your fallopian tubes, ladies, when the sperm and the egg meet. All right, and fertilized. So you've got a few days before it works its way down.
And it starts dividing. Yeah.
And it starts dividing even before it gets to the uterus. Sometimes it skids off and goes out, and one in five times. But lo and behold, they've decided that that's the point at which you can stand your ground to protect your unborn child. I mean, in Florida, you can...
A dividing egg now has gun rights.
Yeah, gun rights.
I'm not fucking shitting you.
In Florida, in Florida, you can stand your ground against Skittles and Lipton iced tea in a can.
Yeah.
But in South Carolina, you can stand your ground for a zygote. I'll give you a couple...
Tell me a little bit about this.
Okay, I'll give you a couple of quotes here.
Yeah.
You know, I love this little picture of a... It's like an ultrasound of the baby holding a Glock.
Where'd you get this
from? It's from Columbia, South Carolina.
Yeah.
It's from...
Addicting Info.
Proud to be liberal. Addicting Info. Yeah, I love this site. No, this isn't Steve Stockman's wet dream come true, but it's almost as stupid. Steve Stockman, of course, being a Republican senator from Texas.
Yes, yes.
Who wants everything bad. The Republicans in Columbia, South Carolina, wanted to... a Senate subcommittee is reviewing several bills, including two aimed at banning abortion, like banning it, like saying you cannot do it.
Yeah.
Saying that's murder.
Here's a code.
And also, you can use the Stand Your Ground self-defense law to include the protection for unborn children defined as starting at conception. Now, if the egg does not plant in the uterine wall, which is usually a week later, does that mean that you are unreceptive to being pregnant? Anyway, that's an ethical question. Sounds suspicious. Anyway... South Carolina already has a Stand Your Ground law, but now you can stand your ground not only to protect yourself, but your unborn baby. Okay.
Well, you know, I would, if I had a gun and I had to stand my ground, I'd stand my ground. Mm-hmm. But the idea that...
You can protect, defend your fertilized egg with deadly force.
The idea that fertilized eggs now have gun rights in America, to me, is the most wacky ass thing I've ever...
No, it's not wacky. No, what's more wacky ass is that the woman herself has no rights over the fertilized egg.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. The fertilized egg, once it's fertilized, is a person.
It belongs to the state.
Yeah. If she aborts it, she's a murderess. Yeah.
Well, of course, that means, what do you define life as? And that's the thing. I mean, the whole problem that we have is the fact that people who are on the anti-abortion side are absolutely sure...
Who are usually men.
...that a person
men,
is a person
usually men, yeah.
Right when the, you know, when the wahoo hits the egg. That's, once you're at that, you're a person.
Yeah.
Never mind the fact that you really are just a dividing zygote. An egg... That could not survive outside a mother's womb.
And it's smaller than a booger.
It is not a person.
It's smaller than a goober. It's tiny.
No, you know, I mean, it's like it could be mini-me, but it's just not a person.
It's not a person.
To say it's a person...
Well, it cannot exist without the mother.
Well, you know, when people sit there and say that they're people, I kind of sit there and they go, oh, my God, that's the stupidest
thing
I've ever
heard
of my
thing. Get out of my vagina.
But then I look at Noah's Ark. And the people that believe in that shit. Of course. You know, of course. Noah just went around and got, you know, every
3 million pairs of animals have to be within 5 kilometers.
Boat, you know what I mean? Like, and a zygote.
And he looked just like Russell Crowe, and he was at least 300 years old.
And a zygote should have gun rights. I love you, America. You never
South Carolina,
me.
Listen,
we're going to go for a break, and then we're going to come back with some more.
I'm having so much fun. Yeah.
Tinfoil hats for our 91st show here on the Bill Show.
Yeah, it is 91.
Welcome to Mythopedia. Mythopedia is a project of Media Matters. It's a treasure trove of conservative lies and misinformation, and the facts you need to refute them. Let's get started with Mythopedia's easy-to-use search function. First, enter a search term. Let's say Obamacare. And there you go, a list of both lies and truths. If you want to explore one of these further, simply click See Entry, and voila, you're taken to a page that contains both the lie and the truth, as well as a more in-depth rebuttal with citations to back it up. You can also click on a tag to see other myths about the same subject. If you didn't see what you're looking for, go back to the search bar and try broadening your search, like healthcare. And as you can see here, you have even more lies to choose from. Also, you can always click here on Full List to browse through all of the lies. Finally, you can even use Mythopedia on the go through your smartphone or tablet. Not only does it have all the same great features as the website, but it also allows you to search by voice command. So the next time you're confronted with a conservative lie, get the truth at mythopedia.mediamatters.org.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains!
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. They don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it? If 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority, 49.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media, edited, organized, and mixed, only at bestoftheleft.com.
Yes, it's that song again, ladies and gentlemen. It's commentary that we listen to, the news and commentary we listen to because we hate our own heads. It is time for our
tinfoil hats.
Tinfoil hats.
Well, I mean, I wear tinfoil when I do this show because I'm really afraid that my mind is going to be invaded by some of the shit that we talk about.
Yes. No, your mind is not getting invaded.
No, you're
no,
right.
No, it's not, really. But there are a few things that I just kind of snatched out of the ether. That scared me. And you know,
okay, scare me. Go on, scare me. My tinfoil.
Christian Broadcasting, Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
All right.
He says, and I quote,
what?
Satan will one day rule America if we keep shopping online.
Really?
And he also says,
what's Uncle Pat been up to?
I really lament the fact that we are no longer allowed to stone gay people.
Yes, I know. I listen. There, we get at the Bill Show. We actually get a direct line
to Pat Robertson,
to Crazy Central. Yeah,
it's called the media.
It's like this really rich guy who's just kind of like a babbling idiot, and every now and then he just says shit, and it's just he's the entertainment that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
And, how old is Pat now?
Oh gosh, he must be in his 80s.
God, he's fucking marvelous. He's like a great vaudeville.
I mean, that's not low. My dad's 80s.
Him and the CBN crew have decided that basically because Sweden has a wonderful socialist government, that it must be kind of like Kim Jong-il. So this ran on the CBN network, and it is the story that they wish to promote about that terrible socialist government in Sweden. Not with any facts, but they managed to do this kind of like kill job on Sweden. And I got a little defensive of Sweden.
Well, Sweden, Norway.
I like Sweden. Leave Sweden alone, you bastard.
Sweden, yeah. Leave Britney alone. Sweden.
Yeah, that's right.
Norway, Denmark, Finland.
Yeah.
All those people that spend a lot of time in the dark, eat a lot of fish.
Yeah.
And are cold.
And leave them alone.
They're not, they do a lot of good things. For their people, like they charge oil companies 78% tax.
Really?
78% tax if you dig oil. And America not only doesn't charge oil companies any tax, they actually give them money to dig for oil.
I actually did some research about the life in Sweden, according to the OECD. But before that, let's hear the conservative take on the Stalinist institution that is
Sweden.
Welcome to Utopia, also known as Sweden. Sweden has been a laboratory of social experiments. Swedish leaders believe they're building the perfect society.
And Sweden has been compared to a couple of nations which also tried to build perfect societies, North Korea and the Soviet Union. If you don't like how Utopia is being built here, you won't be shot like in North Korea. But your life could become very unpleasant very quickly. We talked to several journalists who described a Stalinist-style atmosphere in Sweden. in which citizens are now afraid of saying anything that might get them labeled in the media as racist. Sweden is not going to become a third world nation tomorrow, but according to one report, one day it will.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know. What report is he talking about?
What report are you talking about? And you know what's a miracle, Randall? Is he goes through this entire kind of kick job on Sweden.
And then doesn't say anything.
And he doesn't come up with one name, one report, one source, one anything about anything.
No.
It's just, you know what? Some people say that they could turn into Stalinist zombie brain-eating killers.
And they'll be labeled racist. You know, this is the home of the Nobel Prize.
Oh, my fuck.
Look, these guys... I'm sorry. Sweden, Sweden is actually a responsible.
Sweden is a responsible
government. They really take care
of Sweden.
Sweden is
the home of the undead, Randall.
Oh, really?
It is. They're brain sucking. I thought that was assholes.
I thought that was filmed. I thought Walking Dead was filmed in Georgia.
That was the name of my 80s punk band.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Swedish Stalinist brain-sucking asshole. Listen, let's talk a little bit, because I got a little bit upset, Randy, because, you know, I like Sweden.
Also,
it's a lovely little place.
My friend, Torsten Nyborg. Torsten Nyborg from Falun in Sweden. Was an AFS exchange student when I was in high school, and he was the nicest guy
that I had ever
met.
Good. And that's because he was happy. Now, listen, I decided to
Okay, here's one of the. Oh, I'm going to tell you one little thing, because you said I don't talk enough smut on this show.
Torsten told me.
You know. A lot of the problems that America has stems from teenage angst, from sexual repression, and stuff like that. In Sweden, at 13 and 14, they send all boys and girls to a summer camp and say, look, get it out of your system, fuck each other's brains out, then come back and grow up.
This is a story that you made up.
No, it's absolutely true.
Sweden does not have fuck camps.
No, they send their children... They send their children to co-ed camps at 13 and 14 in the summertime to just get sex out of their systems. And I think...
Where do you hear this?
All right,
shit?
I'll research it and I'll give you all my stuff.
Well, listen, when I was 13 and 14... If that's Sweden, I remember when I was 13, I'd be talking Swedish every fucking day.
Yeah.
I would sit there and go, "Well, I want to be in the long line for 14-year-old
boys." I noticed you spend a lot of time in IKEA, and that is an Allen key around your neck, isn't it?
Right,
or are you just glad to see me?
This is actually I looked up the OECD facts on Sweden.
Socialist,
yeah.
Muckrake.
Now the OECD, and this is what they say. This is their site, OECD.org. Learn more about Sweden, and it has a population of 9.5 million. Sweden performs exceptionally well in overall well-being, as shown by the fact that it ranks among the top countries in a large number of topics in the Better Life Index. Evidently, in terms of health, life expectancy in Sweden is almost 82 years. That's 2 years higher than anything other countries. Or the other median average of other countries. It has a fantastic 92% people believe in Sweden that they... Oh, wait a minute. This is the one that I like. Swedes are more satisfied with their lives than the average OECD country. Mm-hmm. In fact, 85% of people saying that they have more positive experiences in an average day than negative ones. That's 85%. They have health care. They have broad-based education, and their quality of life and the way people feel about the quality of their life in Sweden is better than the average of other countries, and certainly America. So, Pat Robertson, blow it out your ass.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. I agree.
Fuck off. Leave Sweden alone, you old bastard.
Leave Britain alone.
Yeah, leave Sweden alone.
And Norway.
And
Denmark.
You and all your Christ of
bastards. And Finland. Where they actually pay teachers a decent wage.
Yeah, you don't get You don't get to criticize Sweden. That's right.
Yeah.
Because we'll stand
up. He probably
up
drives with a Volvo anyway, yeah, that's right. Dumb shit.
Drive a Volvo up his ass. Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's enough of that. That painful.
Not the 240.
Now, you have a, do you have one that you've brought in today?
Okay. Just to put my little tinfoil hat into context here. Recently when Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act passed the 7 million sign-up
mark,
which they deemed to be the mark of success, a certain announcer...
That's the mark of the devil.
The mark of the devil, 666 is 7
million. Yeah, the right wing went a bit crazy.
They went nuts. They went ballistic. And here is your friend and mine, the gift that just keeps giving liberals a gift, is Glenn Beck.
Oh, you brought a Glenn.
Glenn Beck. The man who said he would go to Puerto Rico or Costa Rica if the Affordable Care Act was passed. He's still in America.
He's still in America, dude.
Because he found out that Costa Rica has affordable health care.
That's right.
Just like Canada.
And so
just like Mexico. Just
so
like
Sweden, you
fucking. So does Sweden, you bloody shit. So all of you people, here's Glenn Beck.
Can I play it?
Here is Glenn Beck going ballistic. Over 7 million sign-ups for the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, all right, this is fantastic. Here's Glenn.
Well, we've never had this before.
Hard to understand.
This guy, you put him in a military uniform. I'm not kidding you. You put him on a balcony in a military uniform, this guy's a full-fledged dictator. There has never been any president who has ever done anything like this. Really, it hasn't.
You're right.
The guy goes out, and everybody knows that crowd is there just paid to clap. They're just, everybody knew. In Soviet Union, everyone knew that was a game. It was a circus.
It's what you had to do.
Right. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We're watching a circus happening in our own country, and we all know it. And right now, we're still allowed to say, well, this is complete bogus. This is a complete bogus fairy tale. This is completely made up. This is nonsensical. The emperor has no clothes. And everyone in the press, you rat bastards, every single one of you know what he's saying isn't true. You know it. You know it.
This is literally borderline insane.
No, it is. He's a sociopath. He's sociopathic.
And he has a complicit media.
Yes, he doesn't care anymore. And what the media is doing, I'm telling you, you put this guy in a uniform that he himself designed because he'll be the greatest uniform designer ever because nobody else could design a uniform like he could. Put this guy in a self-designed uniform, and this guy just goes on for 4 hours talking. I'm not going to pay attention to these people anymore. I'm not going to waste my life. I'm going to do what I was born to do. All men were created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I have a right to pursue my happiness. I have a right to do what I was born to do, not what they tell me what to do. That's what that phrase means. Have you had enough?
Is that man certifiably insane? I cannot believe. If you put Barack Obama in a military uniform on a balcony, what's he going to say? Don't cry for me, Argentina? I mean, for goodness sake. Yeah. And then to quote the Declaration of Independence.
Oh, God, it's priceless. It's official, Randy. You know?
Candy,
it's absolutely official. You know what Glenn Beck has actually become?
A parody of Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck has actually become that crazy guy who rides public transport
and raves on to anybody who will not listen. Yeah, and people move away from him.
Really serious though. I was listening to that. All I could think of is like you're in New York and these guys come in. It's like there's a real fucking raincoat shit happening.
Yeah.
And he just sits there and goes, you know.
Life, liberty, and dictator. Put him in a uniform. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He's a dictator. Yeah. I've had enough.
You know,
I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take anymore.
You know, it was vintage New York crazy. Was my favorite moment in that whole thing is when he turns and he goes, I'm going to to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, oh, fuck, I thought I saw you in 1984 on the eastbound line,
yeah,
in which you were talking to, you know, a pencil. You yeah. know, it's
like, oh, just talking to your imaginary friend. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, Glenn Beck is certifiable.
Really, seriously.
Yeah, you should enter that. You should enter that. As yeah. evidence.
I'm amazed that anyone next to him didn't just go, right, okay then.
Is he just trying
to get... Okay then, Glenn. Now, we're going to have the nurse come in now.
Well, he's already in a soundproof room because he's... But you know, he has a video feed. I would have loved to have seen the video feed of that.
But no, he's just... Yeah, there is a video feed, by the way. There was off of YouTube. But the thing is the fact is that...
You're not supposed to say that, are you?
No, we take it off
public
YouTube.
Domain. Yeah, okay.
But the thing is that you, with Glenn, is that you're watching it and he's trying to make a point by being somewhat coherent. Mm. And then he just spouts off and he's quoting the Declaration of Independence or something. And then
where did that come from?
There's no context. You know, it's just like, I just thought I'd say this.
Glenn, you probably have health insurance paid for as part of your package.
Would be interesting.
So you don't need Obamacare. But 30 million Americans do not have health care and cannot afford health care. And they were being turned away from hospitals and not able to afford certain things to be done. Because you did not have nationalized health like Canada and Costa Rica and all those other places around you. Therefore, you don't have to accept Obamacare, but it's there for those who need it.
But why is it so, you know, I mean, what I can't understand is why healthcare suddenly became the issue that I'm going to go mental about. You know, I mean, I just really kind of like how, this is what people in Australia can't understand, is that... And I literally talk to people, both conservative and liberal in Australia, and they just sit there and they cannot understand why there are certain people in America. And, of course, you and I know the reason is because they're paid to. I mean,
yeah.
Beck is a paid stooge, and he gets his marching orders on the right. Yeah. But the thing is that people can actually get violently angry about trying to give them health care. You know, I mean, it's the most absurd.
Well, you know, when Billary first mooted nationalized health care in the early 90s, during Clinton's first term, they used the Australian model, the Medicare
model.
Yes,
I know, which we use, by the way. And by the way, what's your reaction to the Australian model of health care?
You've lived under it? I've lived under it. I've lived under it for 40 years.
And what's your reaction to it?
It's great. I've never had private health insurance for 40 years. We've had three children. I think I paid for parking.
Yeah,
that's all. I mean, to have children.
But does this mean that your taxes are too high?
No, I pay a levy based on my taxable income. Therefore, I don't pay a certain amount. I pay a levy. Yeah. That levy can go up. That levy can go down, depending on how much money I make. And that is, I think, the way it should be.
But it wasn't like it's not like Stalinist.
No,
you're not like Sweden.
And there's a copay when I go to the doctor.
Yeah.
So if I don't go to the doctor, I don't copay.
Yeah.
If I don't go to hospital, I don't pay. And there's checks and balances. There's swings and roundabouts or swings and merry-go-rounds. That's what. That's how things like this work. That's how national health insurance works.
But it does work. You know, yes. I mean, that's one of the things that basically when we sit here as Americans overseas and talk to you, you know, literally when we listen to Glenn Beck, you know, the cheese fall off Glenn Beck's cracker about, you know, people getting health care, it's just retarded. I mean, it's just fucking retarded. You know, I mean, what's the fucking problem, mate? It's health care. You know, of course, then we figure out, you know, we know and you know that the reason that they're out there talking against health care is because the people that fund them
don't want healthcare.
They don't want you. They want private insurance. The biggest mass ripoff of a population of any country in the world. I mean, you guys pay more per capita for health insurance than any other country in the fucking civilized world.
Yeah.
And you get less for it because these people, the insurance companies, the medicals, and all the pharmaceutical companies, they rip the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
They kill you.
Yeah, totally buttfuck you for money. They take your money.
For years. You know, why do you think that single payer will never happen in America? It'll never happen in America. Congressmen and senators and the entire political system is bought off by huge pharmaceutical health companies that will not allow it to ever happen, no matter how successful it is in another country.
It is. Which is most countries.
So lay the fuck off Sweden, you stupid
And Australia,
bastard.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what our pro-Sweden show, I think we'll call it.
I think, well, our little the response brought to you by IKEA.
listen, we know that you can reach us. And, we're going to do letters today. I have some letters.
People actually wrote to us?
Yeah, I have some letters. Oh, here, okay. I've got to do my letters.
Okay, we're going to
write
some letters.
The letters theme song. Here it is. Yes, it's Terry White and the Terriers. That's our theme.
Rock around the mailbag.
Rock around the mailbag, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, we get letters. We get tons and tons and tons of letters. Well,
they're not physically letters. They're emails.
They're emails, okay? And this one's from Gail in Fort Lauderdale,
Gail,
Florida.
Gail? That sounds like the name for a cyclone, doesn't it?
It is. Don't you make fun of Gail. She was nice.
Hurricane Gail, yeah, okay.
I've listened to your show about whether Americans are dumb.
Folks are dumb where I come from.
You leave her alone. I live in Florida and have to put up with a lot of Republicans who I think are crazy. But you should be more understanding about other people. You sound like you hate America.
I don't hate America. I was born there, for goodness sake. Gail, I'm sorry.
Now he's just crusty and angry and offended.
I'm a cantankerous. I love that word. I'm in my third age.
Yes, you're in the third age.
Bitter and twisted. I'm just bent.
We don't hate America, literally. Yeah,
I'm just bent and acerbic.
Do you think that we're too critical?
Critical of America?
Yeah.
Look, I think all we are is holding up a very big mirror. See, Americans don't get the joke, and they also don't tend to look at themselves critically. They cannot look at themselves objectively.
I have a
feeling. And that's what I think we do.
Well, I think that the thing that, you know, that is that Americans are misinformed to such an incredible degree as the way.
Or uninformed, not misinformed.
Completely uninformed. No, I think they're deliberately misinformed. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at things like the fact that medical care around the world is much cheaper and easier to get. And Americans,
or free, or that's
but
absolutely
Americans,
free.
You know, but it goes back to that CBN thing that we were watching. These people are brainwashed to believe that socialist countries are evil in some way.
What is the phrase? If you say something enough times, it becomes the truth.
Yeah. And there is an absolute conspiracy.
No, if you tell a lie,
yeah, it becomes the truth. But there's an absolute conspiracy by moneyed interest in the media right now for things like single payer not even talked of. Things that have worked in other countries, both, you know, like when you talk about higher education and when you talk about single payer health insurance, all those things, you can't even talk about them in America because you're viewed as being a communist.
Well, I'll tell you what, the long arm of the American corporate interest system reaches to Australia.
Sure it does.
They're actually trying to get our pharmaceutical companies to jack up their prices because we also, similar to Canada, have a subsidized pharmaceutical benefits scheme.
Which is absolutely amazing, which means that we don't get, literally, I talked to my sister about what she pays for prescription prices. It's just friggin' insane.
Yeah, and we also have a safety net. If you have a chronic problem and you spend over a certain amount during the year, after that point, it drops down to almost nothing for the rest of the year.
And you would think that, you know, that you've been conditioned to believe that, it must be a socialist country and no one can get rich there because the taxes are so high. No. People get rich here.
People get very rich
here. Very rich. We just don't spend...
Stinking rich.
We don't spend the money on shit. You know, I mean, you guys spend it, you know, you have like the largest army in the fucking nuclears. You got tanks out of every orifice, the biggest defense budget in the world.
It's not just that. Individually, we tend to take care of each other. We're a bit more egalitarian.
That's hard egalitarian, to say because not, that's
the, not socialism. It's that's egalitarianism.
That's the theory of America. And it was interesting.
Exactly.
It is the theory of America.
Well, no. America is defined as freedom. You know, freedom fries, freedom this, freedom that. We define ourselves by equality. Mm. Now, those two concepts, you think freedom and equality would be fairly close together, but they're not. They're not. We practice equality here, not freedom. In fact, freedom here, we make people wear bicycle helmets. We make people wear seatbelts. We make people wear motorcycle helmets.
Which is perfectly good. I mean, for
we
example,
make people not
look,
drive drunk.
If I run a health system, you know, and everybody else is going to help care for me if I'm sick. If I'm poor, everybody else comes in and helps me. The very least that they can ask me to do is, A, pay a shitload of money if I want to smoke. Because sooner or later, Sooner or later, I'm going to be using the health system that everybody provides.
Exactly. So, that's the biggest complaint of people visiting Australia. Cigarettes are $25 a pack.
I quit smoking, dudes. And by the way, I miss them. I'm not going to be like one of those guys saying, I just hate them. No, man.
Americans make you pay through the absolute ass.
But you know what?
For it, because you are going to be such a burden on the healthcare system.
That's true.
And you know what? We've also dropped from 40% to 19% smoking. And the teenage take-up rate has gone down, both smoking and drinking has gone down.
Absolute down. I mean, that behavior modification.
Yeah, Here's money talks and bullshit walks.
Listen, I got another one from Patty L. in Austin, Texas.
Oh, that redneck state?
No, Austin's cool.
Austin. Okay.
Austin's cool. I was like,
isn't that the home of the Alamo?
There are a lot of Democrats in Austin. Okay. You know,
I thought you said Boston. Sorry.
I'm surprised. She says, why did Bill leave? Did you guys have a fight?
No, Willie didn't leave. Randy didn't come and take his place.
You did. People you stabbed have a, him. You killed him. He's dead.
Willie, Kansas City Will. Yeah. He's got a life.
Well, we had an interview, actually, in the last episode, you weren't here, in which we just basically talked a little bit about the fact that, you know what?
He's a college professor. I mean, all three of us are teachers. I know that's a thankless profession in the United States.
You're a bunch of communists because you're communists.
And I have done this.
Yes.
Gave money to a student for lunch.
You did.
In college, yeah.
It's the kind of person you are, right?
Well, they get fired in America for that.
Okay, here's when... no, we did not have a fight. And,
no, we did not have a fight. Bill Davis will be back occasionally.
He will.
Whatever.
Referred back to episode 90 that we just
posted. We may get rid of Bill tonight and bring back... And Bill Davis and I will do a show.
That's right.
When he goes off to another place.
I'll go off somewhere else.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, here's Todd K. in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
K-Mass, yeah.
Cambridge, okay.
C-Mass,
Todd K. in Cambridge, Massachusetts asks... Where is Randy from in the States?
SoCal. I'm SoCal. You're Mass.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm SoCal from Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara, California.
Were you always a Democrat?
No, I only voted once before leaving the United States. Yes, it was in the Nixon McGovern. And yes, I voted McGovern.
Good man.
In 72.
He won Massachusetts, you know.
Yeah. In 1972. I continue to vote absentee. After coming to Australia every four years for president, in order to maintain my presence on the electoral roll in case I had to be a guardian for my brother and sister, because the only way to do that is to own land or vote or be on the electoral roll.
Yeah.
And then they could say, oh, yes, he's Californian. After my brother and sister came of age, I stopped at the behest of my father, who says, you're not an American.
What?
He knew that you were a Democrat and you canceled out his vote. My father, although he refuses to declare now, whatever that's called, RTD or something, there's something you don't have to declare. Mm. No, he was Democrat. His father was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. My father thought Harry
S. Truman...
He's
the one who comes up with these old conservative stuff.
Oh, God, he's such a racist. So he's
a Democrat, but he's a racist.
Well, no, he's not a... He doesn't say anymore, and I think he is gone arch... He's arch-conservative, but he won't declare. I don't know why, but he was a... He grew up a Democrat in a Democratic household.
Yeah.
His father was a Russian emigre, Jewish Russian emigre, who thought FDR and Harry S. Truman were absolutely the best thing that had ever happened.
Well, FDR was amazing.
Yeah, and HST was as well. When you look at some of the things he did and carrying on the legacy of Social Security and stuff like that.
Jury's out with me on Harry S. Truman. I used to be like a big Truman guy, and then I started reading about the dropping of the atomic bomb and stuff like that. And
look, it was going to be dropped whether he was president or not. It was only April to August.
But both Eisenhower and Marshall came out and said, don't drop it.
Well,
I'm kind of glad
he did, because another million lives,
we should
over 100,000.
We should have a historical argument about that.
We'll have a historical argument about that.
You do?
That.
Oh, fantastic.
Historical, but not hysterical.
I got the last one here.
Oh, hang on. I'm from Santa Barbara, about 100 miles north of L.A.,
yeah.
On the coast.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, stop on by.
Nice place to visit, yeah. But you wouldn't want to live there.
Yeah. Hey, last one from Dale in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. Joy City. Joy-Z.
Dale in Jersey City.
The bridge you can't get across because of Chris Christie.
Chris.
I'm quassing here.
Greg Gutfeld is a douche. Yes, he is. Yeah. Well spotted, Dale. Love your show on him. Keep it up. Thank you. It's very nice. Yeah. Dale's lovely.
Look, if you want to send us an email or shemail.
That's right.
We like them all.
Yes, we do.
Please do. Because, you know, honestly... We enjoy doing this show for each other.
Randy's lonely. And
we don't. No, I'm not.
She's lonely.
We do know that people listen to this show. We do, but we'd like to hear from you.
Yeah.
Just a bit of feedback.
So any praises would be fantastic. We'll read it on the show if it's praise.
Bouquets or brickbats. Yeah, because we can
suck up, please. Yeah. We're teachers. We like
it. Yeah. You don't have to pay for our lunch either.
Okay, listen. If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach us on The Bill Show on xpr@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook with The Bill Show on XPR on Facebook. And you can get to our website, expatprogressive.podbean.com, in which you can go and listen to all of our shows. I think about 91 now.
Yeah, 91 shows on now. iTunes.
On iTunes and on Stitcher Radio.
Yeah, on Stitcher Radio. Yeah. But I do it automatically, and it's just on my phone every time a new show gets done.
I talk to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
All right. Well, that's the credos of our show.
Yeah.
Anyway, we list. Thank you for listening to the Bill Show today.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Number 91. Good to see you, Randy.
And 91, a very good age. Yes.
Take care and be good out there in Radio Land.
We'll see you soon. Bye.